herds of zebras roaming the African savanna. Giant redwood trees branching high into the California sky. A bald eagle soaring over a western mountaintop. A whale swimming to the water's surface for air. These animals and plants represent some of the most spectacular wildlife on Earth. They are natural resources that we have taken special precautions to protect. However, all wildlife, even the squirrels gathering nuts, or the cows munching on the prairie grass, and the fungi growing on a rotting log, are valuable resources. Wildlife is important to people for several reasons. Many people appreciate the beauty of nature that is expressed in the different kinds of plants and animals that enrich our planet. Plants and animals are also important for scientific reasons. By studying plants and animals, scientists can learn about various life processes, and even about human body functions and human behavior. The study of some plants and animals may lead to the development of new medicines and the cure or prevention of certain diseases. Wildlife has an economic value to our society. Plants and animals provide many products that are bought and sold, as well as providing us with food, clothing, and shelter. But the most important value of wildlife is the role that every plant and animal plays in helping to maintain the balanced living systems that exist between all organisms and the environment. For life to survive, these systems must continue to function. The loss of any species threatens the survival of other forms of life. In this intricate web of relationships, every form of life affects every other form. When a drastic change occurs in the community of living things, the balance of nature is upset. The study of the relationships that exist among organisms and the environment is called ecology. Understanding ecology enables people to manage organisms and the environment in a better way. The ecosystems include all living and non-living things in a community. An ecosystem may be a pond, a forest, a meadow, or even a schoolyard. Some ecosystems are on land, others are in fresh water, and others are in the ocean. The place where a plant or animal lives is called a habitat. The role of a living thing within its habitat is called its niche. An animal's niche is defined by what an animal eats, by what eats the animal, by how the animal protects itself, and by how the animal adjusts to its environment. The various forms of life in any ecosystem all have a common need for energy. The source of life's energy is the sun. A food chain shows how this energy is passed from one organism to another. Green plants change the sun's energy into a form that can be used. Green plants, therefore, are producers. Producers make their own food from non-living materials. They use sunlight, carbon dioxide, and water to make food. Food provides energy for them and other organisms. Animals cannot make their own food. They are consumers. They get their energy from green plants. Animals that depend directly on green plants are first-level consumers. First-level consumers include birds, deer, rabbits, cows, and others that eat the leaves, roots, flowers, seeds, or fruits of green plants. Consumers that do not eat plants, such as these cheetahs, are second-level consumers. They get their energy by eating other organisms that have eaten plants, that is, from the first-level consumers. They also feed on second-level consumers. A spider eating an insect or a hawk capturing its prey are examples of second-level consumers. Decomposers are another type of organism. They are the final link in the food chain, breaking down the remains of dead plants and animals. Decomposers such as fungi and bacteria help to return organic matter to the soil and water. Since most consumers eat more than one kind of food, they are usually part of many food chains. Food chains that overlap make up a food web. For example, in an open meadow ecosystem, one food chain consists of a mouse, which eats grass seeds. A snake eats the mouse and a hawk eats the snake. But the meadow is made up of overlapping food chains or a food web. Grass seed is food for both mice and rabbits. Dead grass is food for worms and insects. Beetles feed on small dead animals and plants. Caterpillars, worms, and seeds are food for the blue jays. Snakes eat mice and rabbits, and hawks eat mice, rabbits, and snakes. Thus, you can begin to see the intricate nature of the relationships within an ecosystem. In addition to food chains, scientists use a food or energy pyramid to represent the relative numbers of plants and animals in an area. The amount of producers in an ecosystem is always much larger than the first level consumers. They form the base of the pyramid. More producers are needed to keep alive a smaller number of consumers. Similarly, the amount of first level consumers is always much larger than the amount of second level consumers. Over long periods of time, environments slowly change. New kinds of plants and animals have developed, and others have died out. When an entire species, or single kind of plant or animal, dies out, it is said to be extinct. Extinct populations can never be brought back to life. When a plant or animal becomes extinct, such as this great auk, it disrupts the ecosystem. A link is missing in the food chain. In some areas of northern United States and Canada, wolves have been killed off by hunters. The moose, deer, and elk populations, which the wolves fed on, began to grow out of control until the animals ran out of food or until disease swept through the herd. The wolves had been a natural control and an important part of the food chain. Some species of plants and animals have become extinct because of natural causes. Animals may disappear from certain areas because they do not provide a suitable environment. Climate may be too cold or dry. Food may be scarce, or other animals may be competing for that area. However, in modern times, the activities of human beings and human population growth have been the greatest danger to wildlife. People have upset the balance of nature in several ways. People hunt many kinds of animal for their fur, hide, meat, or oil. They have cleared forests, drained swamps, and dammed rivers to clear the way for agriculture and industry. Animals die out because their special living areas, or habitats, are destroyed. For example, the Everglades kite is a kind of bird that depends on a single kind of snail that lives in the marshes and lakes of Florida. Since the marshes and lakes are being destroyed by people, the kite's food supply is disappearing, and so is the kite. Animals and plants, like the Everglades kites, that are close to becoming extinct are called endangered species. By some estimates, over 170 different kinds of animals and 1,700 kinds of plants in the world are considered endangered species. Other endangered animals include the bald eagle, the California condor, and the whooping crane. Destruction of wildlife habitats by people is the major reason for the endangerment and extinction of wildlife species. The key to a healthy, stable environment is a diversity of wildlife. In areas such as the frozen Arctic, the communities of plants and animals are very simple. If one part of the system is damaged, many parts may be affected. In the lush tropics, however, plant and animal communities are much more complex. Living things are not dependent on just a few plants and animals. When tropical communities are damaged, they usually recover quickly. To maintain the variety of life, we must make sure that many kinds of plants and animals exist. Environmental scientists are learning how to better manage wildlife and protect endangered species. A few years ago, the alligator was hunted for its hide, which was used to make wallets, handbags, and other items. The swamps where the alligator lived were being drained to make way for houses, highways, and shopping areas. The alligator became an endangered species. People concerned about the environment became aware of this situation. Laws were passed to protect the alligator's habitat and make it illegal to hunt them. Alligator farms were begun. The alligator is safe from extinction, at least for now. The establishment of wilderness areas, wildlife refuges, and national and state parks are all ways of helping to protect our environment. These areas also provide a kind of outdoor laboratory in which to study the relationships between animals, plants, and the environment. Since our lives are closely interwoven with the natural world, we should learn all we can about it. For it seems that our survival depends on keeping the Earth's wildlife resources healthy, stable, and flourishing.